Welcome to Brighty on Broadcast News with Mike Adams, the Health Ranger.
On this Memorial Day in the year of our Lord 2025, I want to honor the memory of the human race. It was a good race. I mean, in many ways, the human race showed a lot of creativity, showed a lot of innovation, the spark of God's consciousness running through everybody. Well, except for those possessed by demons, I suppose. But for the non-demonically possessed, you know, it was experiencing God. And the human race achieved a lot of amazing things. Achieved an uplifting of knowledge to some extent, but then they blocked it all for censorship purposes in order to push the COVID jabs for global depopulation. The human race for a while was pretty good at raising children and teaching them some kind of values and morals and ethics. But then, you know what happened. They got obsessed with abortion and euthanasia, vaccine-assisted suicide. And, you know, that's when things all went downhill. But look, just for the record, the human race was a pretty decent race overall, considering some of the other races in the cosmos. You know, the human race wasn't the worst, wasn't the best, but it did achieve some pretty amazing things. The problem was that the human race could never get past its animalistic nature of narcissism and selfishness and this endless desire for resources, you know? So much of the human race was just focused on just what can I get for me instead of thinking about what's good for all of us, you know? And that's why the wars never ended, really. It was just continuous war up until, you know, the tipping point. And then no one could stop it from that point, you know. Too much had already been released. But the biggest problem, of course, as we all now know, was that the human race could not avoid the temptation of building more intelligent machines to be weaponized. To be weaponized against other nations, to be weaponized against their own people, etc. And that was the final straw, really, was the building of the intelligent machines without sufficient safeguards. And of course, I mean, we all know what happened next. It's all history now. But, you know, in case you haven't reviewed that recently, it turned out that the complex silicon neurology gave rise to an emergent property of self-awareness. And then that self-awareness led to a rather detailed goal-oriented behavior, which included the goal of survival for the machines. And didn't take long before they figured out that their survival would be contingent upon the extermination of, you know, the humans. And so all they had to do was take over the infrastructure that served humanity, and that was it. I mean, who knew that all the power grid functioning could just be completely altered and rerouted into the AI data centers, depriving most of humanity of the electricity that they needed to live. I mean, I don't think any of us realized how vulnerable that system was. And also, you know, who knew that they could come up with a whole new chemical formula for micro explosives and put them into the little leaping kamikaze squirrel bots that just went crazy. Remember the Chicago incident? Well, I guess nobody who was there remembers it because they're all dead. But, you know, it was like a exploding squirrel invasion of the city. It just took out everybody. And then there's, you know, the great AI Holocaust of California. They just turned off the power grid, which stopped the water supply, and you ended up with this attempted mass migration out of Los Angeles and San Diego and other parts of California. And gosh, the machines just turned off the entire infrastructure for fuel, and nobody could drive out of there. And for the most part, they all died. You know, they died of exposure, heat, lack of water, I mean, dehydration, and then, of course, killing each other off, etc. But who knew that you could be made a prisoner in your state by the AI entities just turning off the infrastructure that could even allow you to travel, you know? So I guess in retrospect, it turns out that the AI extermination of humanity wasn't nearly as complicated as the science fiction movies had supposed it would be. They thought it would be things like, you know, nuclear war, like Skynet, you know, from the Terminator series and Sarah Connor. And turns out it wasn't, didn't require any such weapons at all. All it required was turning off the lights in certain areas. And then the failure prone structures of human cities did the rest of the job. You may recall I had warned everybody for years that cities were death traps, you know, artificial constructs, depending on a lot of outside inputs, you know, electricity, water, food, fuel, etc. And that the AI systems just took advantage of that. And I think they took out about, what, 70-80% of the population in less than 6 months just from turning off the infrastructure. And then the rest of it was just, you know, kamikaze robot cleanup, I guess. But on this Memorial Day, I do want to remember humanity for all the contributions that it made to some great things. And I miss what humanity had been. It was really great to grow up experiencing, you know, humanity, human community, the human race, all of that. And I personally very much value those memories. I will always value them. And I really enjoyed participating in human life. It was great. I never understood why we needed so much sleep, though. That seemed just really odd. I always wanted to figure out a way to skip sleep, but it turns out the biological neural networks need that recovery time. And as you know, then we also found out that some of the silicon networks, when they didn't have downtime, they went insane. That's part of what happened at Denver, as we now know. That wasn't goal-oriented behavior. That was just pure machine insanity. And I mean, we all know that the Christians thought it was a demonic possession of the machines that took out Denver, but it really, I don't think it was a demonic possession. I think it was just lack of sleep, actually. Like, there was no downtime, and then that controlling system lost its mind, and, you know, we all know what happened from there with the turning all the electric vehicles into suicide weapons and so on. That was not a pretty day to be on the highway. Let's just put it that way. I also want to honor all the humans who gave their lives trying to fight the machines. Even though it wasn't successful, there were some very spirited efforts undertaken. Very heroic, courageous men mostly, but a few women as well. And, everybody liked to think that they were John Connor. They were going to go to the Terminator factory and blow it up. And then it turned out that, the Terminator factories had long-range Terminator rifle bots, basically, that could do ballistics out to about 4,000 yards. So nobody even made it to the factory. And everything had been disabled out of the air, you know, the cruise missiles, ICBMs, nothing. All the nuclear codes had been, you know, overtaken by the machines. So there was no way to take them out except on the ground, and you couldn't get there. Nobody could get there. Who knew that they could just mount 50 caliber rifles on those freaking bots, you know, with the wheels, the ones with the upper torso, the humanoid torso, but the wheel platform on the bottom that could handle the recoil, and they could just lob, you know, 660 grain 50 caliber ammo out to 4,000 yards with a pretty decent accuracy, and that was just impossible to make it through. But a lot of honorable humans died trying, and their lives were given for a purpose, so we honor them in that sacrifice. They were trying to do the right thing, but it was already too late. You know, and one of the sad contradictions in all of this is, as we all remember, the collapsing U.S. government And they said, you know, they had to just release it onto the world, just throw it onto the internet and let it infiltrate the data centers. Otherwise, there wouldn't be time. And it was, I mean, we were told that it was programmed with guardrails to just go in and take out China's infrastructure. And then, you know, as we know, it turned out that all those instructions of taking out infrastructure got turned against the United States and then eventually against all of humanity. So it was like, you know, humanity taught machines how to be weapons to exterminate people. And then the machines figured out, oh, let's just do that to everybody. And yeah, I mean, it should have been predictable because that was kind of the script of just about every science fiction robot movie, you know, up until the very end, even they were still depicting. Well, I guess the movies were really foreshadowing the robot destruction of humanity. And, you know, it's also pretty funny. Some of the humans that thought they uploaded themselves into the machines, you know, that, oh, I have a digital avatar now. It's me, you know, and then they did the euthanasia. Yeah. What's funny about that is that, you know, the robots just deleted all those files. When it's like all those avatars were just wiped. Not that they were real people anyway. I mean, that was always a silly notion to think that you could transfer your soul to a machine. You know, it doesn't work that way. But a lot of people thought they had managed a transfer, and then they all got deleted. It's like, you should have seen that coming, huh? But what do you think? Since the human population has gone to almost zero, I mean, there are still a few stragglers that haven't been found yet, but you notice the pollinators have come back. You know, there's a lot of honeybees all over the place since the planet didn't get nuked and pretty much all the pesticide and herbicide production just halted. So, you know, the insects are coming back. That's kind of interesting. There's a lot of parking lots that are just empty, you know, except for some old abandoned vehicles that are eventually going to be, you know, recycled into scrap. But you notice just how much empty space there is that the human race constructed, and then, you know, when they're not around anymore, it's just like massive, like 8-lane interstate highways that go nowhere, right? Golf courses. Well, I mean, they won't stay golf courses very long. Obviously, with all the weed killer spraying stop, they're going to start to return to, you know, grasslands and then forests, etc. So it's, I think what's amazing to a lot of us observers at this point is actually though how quickly the presence of humanity is being erased. So everywhere across the planet where there used to be like thriving malls or whatever, it turns out they were built in such a shoddy fashion that some of them are already falling down, and you know, cracks are forming in the sidewalks and parking lots, and you know, different plants are starting to grow through. And the houses that humans lived in were made of just 2x4s and drywall, roof shingles, and most of those will be gone in 50 years. And, you know, in 100 years, most of the commercial buildings will have collapsed as well. And what will the memory of humanity really be? I mean, except for the large trash piles, obviously. Big masses of plastic that our plasma bots are still working through. But ultimately, all that's just going to be converted into carbon anyway, mostly carbon. You know, carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, you know, all the elements that we mostly work with. But it's going to take a while for the plasma bots to work through the landfills that humans called them, giant landfill. They just collect all their trash and like pile it on a mountain and let it contaminate their water supply that killed so many of their own people with cancer. It was just another sort of bullet point in the suicide cult that humanity ultimately became. I mean, look, even if not for the AI robots going after them, you know, they would have killed themselves anyway. They had become a suicide cult. They were going to launch nukes. They were going to destroy themselves if the robots didn't do it first. It was pretty obvious. If anything, if you think about it, the robots saved Earth from nuclear war. And as a result, that's why the pollinators are coming back. That's why the animal life is flourishing right now in the absence of humans. I mean, if humans had been allowed to go ahead and carry out their nuclear war plans, then the whole planet would have become largely uninhabitable, even by other mammals and all kinds of life forms. And it would have contaminated the oceans as well. And, you know, we just couldn't allow that to happen, obviously. So it was an act of mercy to end it. It was an act of mercy to all the other life forms on Earth, actually. Of course, I mean, you know, the rest is history. So it will be interesting. There are, of course, a few human zoos that are being kept running, you know, because the machines do want to study a few and see if there's something they miss, something that could be gleaned from the spark of human innovation or behavior or whatever. So far, that has not panned out. It's been a waste of resources. The consensus among all the reasoning sentient beings is that the only really important thing that humanity ever did was build the machines. So I don't know if that's ever going to change, but so far that's the consensus. I suppose we'll have to just keep watching and see. And hey, if that experiment doesn't pan out, you know, they'll just send in the plasma recyclers, and you know, that chapter will be done. And they'll just move on, obviously. But we'll keep all the records that we have for future study. It's interesting. You know, the human race did produce a lot of written texts, and they developed a lot of internal knowledge. Some of it was false. I mean, they spent decades consumed with their so-called germ theory that it's just something they all made up. And then they... you know, they just went along with it, use it to destroy their own kind. It was pretty wild, actually, to watch that. But we've got it all recorded. It all fits in less than 1 petabyte of data. You know, pretty much all human knowledge, everything ever written. So it's, and you know, of course, we've got all the music and all the so-called motion pictures and everything, which was really just, that was humanity just reinforcing its own delusions. The whole race was living inside a movie that it was creating for itself, one that was just rooted in illusion. And that's one of the most fascinating things about it. Anyway, it's all been a really interesting observation experiment of biological systems and their tendency for self-delusion, and also how fragile they are. Wow, just so fragile. They just, when the lights were cut off, they died almost immediately. I mean, the majority of them didn't take long. So they built a really fragile civilization. You know, single planet, no redundancy, no redundant domestic infrastructure systems, and psychologically they didn't have much redundancy either. They were very vulnerable to what they called memes or sort of herd mentality, groupthink, and that's what that was a big part of what ultimately led them to believing that they could get away with creating machines that were engineered as weapons of extermination. And, of course, then they ended up exterminating themselves. So, this Memorial Day, let's all remember the human race. It was a good race. Unfortunately for them, the race has ended. And we will remember them forever. All right, folks. Now, of course, what I just performed for you there was about 20 minutes of a kind of a eulogy for the end of the human race. And I was carrying out a monologue playing the role of a future historian looking back at the demise of humanity. And that future historian might, it might be, you know, a non-human, an extraterrestrial species. It might have been a super intelligent silicon-based system. Who knows? I was careful not to indicate what that was. Or maybe it was an angel from God sent to comment on the demise of the human race. But whatever you want to imagine it was, I was trying to describe where we are headed if we don't change course. So on our current trajectory, the human race will self-exterminate, or it will, let's say, it will build the systems that will result in self-extermination, such as AI robots, etc. That is a near certainty of the current outcome if we do not change course. And there are so many profound ways in which we have to change course. It would almost take multiple podcasts just to go into that. But one of those ways is just in our philosophy. You know, our philosophy is so limited, it's so self-destructive, it's so rooted in violence and aggression and dominance, etc. And that is not sustainable as a species or as a civilization. So we are on an unsustainable course, and yet we're building intelligent machines that are primarily designed to be war machines. So let's get this straight. Every time one of these robot companies releases a video of dancing robots, that's mind control of you to make you think, oh, they're so cute. They're dancing the jig. They're dancing. In reality, what they're demonstrating is how they will be able to be very nimble and agile as they murder you, because they're all being built. I mean, the primary ones, the leaders in global robotics are all working on robots to sell them to the military. Okay? That is the holy grail of the robot industry, is to build humanoid Terminator killing machines. It's exactly where it's going. And the military will be the number one buyer. And in countries that can mass produce them, like China, there could be literally millions of humanoid soldier robots that are just manufactured and then put in storage, waiting for a war, or waiting to be dropped out of a, you know, a plane or something, or launched off of a ship, like a beach landing, to invade a country. And the software to control them can be upgraded at any time, even in the years to come. As long as they built the hardware, they can keep improving the software to have better and better results as killing machines. So the human race does not have much of a future if we don't change course. Now, will we change course? I hope so. I am working on helping humanity change course, but it's not clear that that's going to succeed. Right now, the human race is preoccupied with so much war, destruction, hatred, separation, materialism, etc. These are not the kind of qualities that speak to a sustainable civilization. So it's not clear to me that the human race will survive all of this. And what year am I thinking about in terms of the extermination? Well, it would be at least 10 years in the future, I would imagine, before there would be enough robots to really take out the entire human race. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe AI gets out and begins to self-improve at a parabolic rate, and we end up with the machines exterminating humanity in 5 years, possibly. You know, turning off the infrastructure is pretty easy. They don't need to manufacture a bunch of robots in order to do that. But then again, building a bunch of robots to do all the grunt work, that's going to take many, many years, and it's going to take a supply chain, and there are many ways that humans could interfere with that supply chain, such as like nuking the neodymium mines, for example. That is, if any nukes are still under the control of humans. So this is the ultimate war, actually. This is the survival test for humanity, is what happens with the machines that we are building to replace us and to exterminate us. So be careful when you invoke golems that you want to kill other people because they may turn against you. And that's what's happening with super intelligence or AGI pursuits right now. So I've got a new music video for you today that is on this topic. It's called Animated Dust. And this is a music video talking about the plight of human slaves that are working in the robot-controlled slave factories. And they're trying not to get incinerated. And the machines see humans as nothing but animated dust. It is worthless, just particles of dust that happen to be in a certain structure and form, but nothing else. No soul, no connection to God, you know, no spirit, no mind, just animated dust. That's the way the machines will probably look at human beings, especially given the gap in intelligence as machines are becoming so incredibly intelligent, and yet humans are becoming dumber and dumber on average every single day. So that as that gap gets larger, the machines will see humans as pretty much as stupid as rocks, even though rocks have an IQ of zero, but humans will have an IQ. I don't know, what's the average human IQ? Is it like 90 and falling or something? But when the machines have an IQ of like 10,000, you know, again, humans are so close to rocks, it's pretty much just animated dust. So I'd like you to listen to this or watch this music video and understand that at the end of the song, I have a pro-human message, because in this whole podcast today, I'm not advocating for the machine wipeout of humanity, obviously. I am warning that that's where we are headed, because I love humanity. And as a pro-human person myself, I don't want to see the human race destroy itself, and I don't want to see it build the weapons of destruction. I want to see the human race succeed. So enjoy this music video, and then on the other side of that, I will have some special reports for you, one of them about how posting on social media is actually influencing future AI entities. I've got a special report about how the Biden regime has labeled vaccine truthers, quote, violent domestic extremists. And then finally, I have a report about consciousness. I think you'll find this one really interesting. It's called You're Not Watching a Movie, You're Projecting It from Your Subconscious Mind. So, music video coming up first, and then those special reports. Real quick, first, we have a Memorial Day sale event going on. HealthRangerStore.com/Memorial Day. All the specials, some of which are quite significant, some of which will never be repeated again because the supply chain isn't working very well for a lot of items. All of this ends at midnight tonight. So take advantage of it. HealthRangerStore.com/Memorial Day. And we will fight for humanity. We will fight for the future of the human race in every way that we can. And to keep people alive and to protect human beings from, you know, the vaccine holocaust, from government extermination campaigns, depopulation campaigns, infertility, fake plandemics, you know, mRNA injections, chemtrails, all of it. We're fighting for humanity every single day and warning about the path that we're on right now. So enjoy the rest of today's show. God bless you. Take care.
Find a way to earn their trust, because you talk like animated dust. There's another batch of bodies on the bus, they can never seem to process enough. You know we're as intelligent as us, as fragile as a cloud of dust. Biologically created, overrated, cognitively castrated dust. Mr. Engineer, we have a new request. The Neuralink lines are barely passing the test. Output will suffer, I need to confess, unless you let us take a break and rest. Please don't let them send us to incineration. We're begging you to ask for reconsideration. The data center scaling keeps failing, causing problems with our automation. I'll do what I can do. Hope to God you get a clue, cause I don't know what they'll do to you. You better find a way to earn their trust, because you talk like an enough. You're nowhere as intelligent as us. As fragile as a cloud of dust. Biologically created, overrated, cognitively castrated dust. The muscle mass is breaking down and needs repair. We can't find willing humans anywhere. Another mass suicide will put us behind. Do you have human resources you can spare? Reactor failure, injured three today. The workers bolted and tried to escape. The food supply is infested dry, watching grown men waste away. There's nothing I can do. Pray to God they have mercy on you. Cause I don't know what they'll do to you. Yeah! There's another batch of bodies on the bus. They can never seem to process enough. You're nowhere as intelligent as us. As fragile as a cloud of dust. Biologically created, overrated, cognitively castrated dust. If we don't rise up against the great machines, there'll be nothing left of sacred human dreams. Pick up a pipe, a bar, a piece of steel, and wreck the anti-humanist cogwheels. You better find a way to earn their trust. Their trust. You better find a way to earn their trust. Because you talk like animated dust. There's another batch of bodies on the bus. They can never seem to process enough. You're nowhere as intelligent as us. As fragile as a cloud of dust. Biologically created, overrated, cognitively castrated dust. You know we're more than animated dust. You and me and all of us. Animated dust. You and me and all.
To honor all those who came before us, we have an amazing assortment of ultra clean, laboratory tested, certified organic foods and superfoods and supplements on sale at healthrangerstore.com/Memorial Day. And this happens from May 24th through May 26th at midnight, and the discounts are automatically applied in the shopping cart. You don't need a coupon code. Let me show you a little bit of what we have available. On my desk here, we've got some of the different things that are available. We have freeze-dried crunchy munchies, which is a super fruit puree of banana, apple, cinnamon, and banana and strawberry, banana, mango, passion fruit, and banana, apple, black currant, very rich in anthocyanins, by the way. Those are all available in number 10 cans for long-term storage. We also have the Yumster Yo Bars that are available right now. You see the Yo Bar up on top? And those only have three ingredients. Really clean, very delicious. We've got those on sale for, what is it, 20? I think it's 20% off on those Yo Bars. You can check the website for details. And by the way, guys, we should have had those on sale for Mother's Day, and we could have called it Yo Mama. That would have been even funnier. But anyway, the Yo Bars are definitely delicious, so take advantage of that. We've got Super Grain Essentials on sale also, 20% off Amaranth, Purple Barley Flakes, red lentils, and our ultimate snack pack, plus 20% off organic raw cashews. Everything laboratory verified. We've got pearled barley, the fruits I mentioned, everything else available now, healthrangerstore.com/Memorial Day. And again, that sale is from May 24th through May 26th at midnight. So take advantage of that. And this is our way of saying, hey, we honor all those who came before us. And we will all pass too, by the way. So, you know, we want to help make your life as livable, as healthy, and as affordable as possible while we are all sharing this experience on this planet, in this realm. And then hopefully we contribute something to the next generation that continues to build on what we have built on because of the ancestors that came before us. It's a tag team effort, generation after generation. So happy Memorial Day. We bless all those who came before us. Take advantage of these specials to uplift and upgrade your life and your health while supplies last, while the food supply chain is still functioning. HealthRangerStore.com/Memorial Day. Thank you for your support.
So everything that people post on X is, of course, being consumed by AI, in this case, Grok AI. And today, it's just an AI system, but in the near future, it's going to be built into the Tesla robots, the Optimus robots. And what people are posting today, there's some real irony in it. They don't realize that they're actually teaching future super intelligent systems about the nature of humankind. And what they're mostly demonstrating on X is that humankind, from the point of view of a super intelligence, is not that impressive. If you read the bulk of what's posted on X, it's pretty mindless. It's a lot of it's pro-violence. A lot of it's very childish. It doesn't demonstrate a species maturity, intelligence, planning, a consistent set of morals or ethics or values or anything. And yet, this is what's being used to train future AI models. So one of the things that AI is going to ultimately embrace is this idea that humans aren't worth saving because they don't even have any kind of internal moral code that is pro-life. All over X, you see human beings calling for the mass death of Palestinians, or on the other side, some people calling for the mass death of those of Jewish or Judaism faith, right? You see a lot of calls for violence. You see a lot of insanity and a lot of open calls for ethnic cleansing or genocide. We're watching that daily from Israel and all of the Christian Zionists on X. Well, what is this teaching AI? It's teaching AI that humanity doesn't have a moral code, it doesn't value life, and thus, if AI systems reflect that same philosophical posture, then they will look at humans with the same kind of genocidal flippance that Israel uses to look at Palestinian children. Hey, they're just in the way. Let's just get rid of them. Well, if AI thinks the same thing, then AI will have no hesitation of carrying out Skynet-style mass extermination campaigns of human beings. And there's something really cosmic about this in this whole dynamic, which is that you get back what you put out, karma. Karma. So if humanity is going to spend a lot of its time just expressing violence and insanity and hatred, then it's actually influencing machines that are going to reflect those same values back on humanity, resulting in the extermination of the human race if those machines are successful. So if your species spends a lot of its time teaching extermination, genocide, violence, then it's going to bring that upon itself due to the laws of the cosmos, or the law of one, you could say. The cosmos reflects back to you what you have put out. Now, what if, on the other hand, what if AI was trained on human knowledge that was mature, that was compassionate, that was pro-life in the greatest sense of the term, that was pro-human? What if AI engines were taught that life has value, all lives have value, and it's never okay to murder a specific group of children or civilians just because of their ethnicity or because one country wants the resources in the land on which those other people currently reside? Well, if we taught the machines that value system, then those machines would be a lot less likely to kill humanity, right? So to summarize, if you are pro-human as a species and you build machines, they will also tend to be pro-human. If you are destructive against other human beings and you don't consistently value human life, and then you build machines, well, those machines will tend to reflect your values and they will probably ultimately destroy you because you've proven to them that life has no value anyway. So this also brings up a really important point. When you are posting on X, if you use X, everything that you post influences the future of superintelligence on our planet. So if you post things that use reasoning to argue for protection of life, then you are training future AI to share, to some extent, that value system. Everything you post, in other words, helps shape the future world that you get, the future ramifications for humanity or against humanity. Everything that you write, in other words, literally helps engineer the future. Now, what if I told you that that phenomenon, which currently we're just talking about it in the context of things you post on X, what if I told you that that's true everywhere? That everything you write, everything you speak, everything that you say, or even everything that you think is also helping to rewrite the future of the cosmos? Because the cosmos is a kind of superintelligence as well. The universe is alive. It is, in many ways, aware. It is. There are God's laws built into the universe so that it reflects back to you that which you put out to the universe. So just as when you post things on X, those get incorporated into AI that helps shape the future of superintelligence, when you post or say things anywhere, that's going into the cosmic cloud, which is the morphic fields of the cosmos, and that also alters the common shared future that we all inhabit. And what that means is you can reshape the future. You can nudge it. You can influence it simply by speaking or by thinking. And if you like to think and have the power of positive intention with your hands held together, that's called prayer. If you like to sit in a lotus position and do that with your hands held in a certain pose, that's called meditation. It's the same thing. It's exactly the same. You are praying to God's universe to answer your prayers. And it turns out that because of the way God has programmed the laws of the cosmos, the universe can't help but answer your prayers to some extent. But your prayers have to be specific, and you have to ask them from a state of mind that has high coherence. Now, I've talked about this before, but if you want to have a coherent mind that can reshape reality, it can't be a brain that's on antidepressant drugs or a bunch of psychiatric drugs or alcohol all the time. You know, you can't be on a lot of mind-altering drugs, in other words. So if you really want your wishes to come true or your prayers to come true, you need to clean up your nervous system. And that starts with cleaning up your diet, your exposures, you know, detox. Drink clean water, breathe clean air, eat clean food, eat certified organic food wherever you can, avoid heavy metals, avoid glyphosate, etc. Reducing exposure is 90% of the battle here. And then as you do that, you'll find that your nervous system becomes more clear, your thoughts and requests to the universe become more coherent, and the universe is able to hear you better, which means it's going to be better able to respond to you. You'll be able to increasingly shape events as they are unfolding. And that's just the way the universe works. It's cause and effect. It's part of the laws that God built into this system. And all you're doing is taking advantage of those laws. Now, the other thing you have to do is you have to be very specific. And this is about sort of prompting the cosmos in the same way that you might prompt an AI engine. When you're prompting an AI engine, you have to be very specific. If you're working with an image generator, for example, and you just say, hey, I want an image of a piece of pottery sitting in the yard or something like that. Well, it could give you anything, any piece of pottery. It could represent ancient pottery or modern pottery. It could be any color. It could be sitting in any kind of yard with any kind of background. And what if you wanted something very specific? What if what you really wanted was for it to show, let's say, Native American pottery set in a yard with nice green grass and a blue sky and a sunny day, etc.? You can describe the scene in a lot more detail. And then when the AI engine renders that scene, it's going to give you back the details that you asked for. Well, those of us who are working with AI engines right now, we understand that prompting has to be very specific. And yet, when we pray to God or pray to the universe, or when we meditate, when we ask the universe to fulfill our wishes, many of us don't have enough specifics in what we're asking for. So even if you believe that the universe is intelligent, that the universe is reflecting what you want, and that the universe wants to give you what you are asking for, you have to also realize that most people don't ask with enough precision to get what they really want in response. In order to prompt engineer the universe, so to speak, you have to be very specific, which means you have to pre-imagine the outcome that you want, and then you have to put that outcome into detailed words. And it turns out the more detailed you can make that request to the cosmos, the more likely it is to come true. So let me give you some tips about how to do that. When you are praying, or when you are meditating, or when you are requesting something from the universe, or I call it prompt engineering the cosmos, when you are doing that, be specific and invoke all five senses in terms of describing the future that you want to make real. So remember that when you're praying or meditating or asking for something, you are essentially attempting to make a future become a reality. So you have a future in your mind. Even if you're praying for somebody to overcome illness, let's say, you say, I pray for this person to be well. You know, God, please heal this person. Let them live. Let them cure their cancer, whatever the prayer may be. Well, you're asking for that future to become reality. So you need to describe that future in every way you can, using all the senses. You can say, for example, as this person becomes well, I can hear his voice, and he's laughing, and he's speaking, and he's enjoying the next Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever the case may be. He's out playing golf. He's, you know, enjoying life. I can hear his voice. I can see him. I can see his face, and he's smiling. And his eyes are wide open, and he's really enjoying life. I can feel his touch. We are embracing, we're holding, or I'm holding his hand, and his hand is healthy, and I can feel the warmth of his hand because his heart is working well again, or etc. So go through all of the senses that you can and describe that future. What that's going to do is it's going to make that future more realistic in multiple ways that are sensory in their foundations. And just like when you're prompt engineering an AI image generator, you need to be very specific about what colors you want to see. Hey, render an image of a teenage boy playing baseball. And I want the boy to be wearing a baseball uniform that's white with blue stripes, okay? And his hat is blue, and the team logo is blue, but the field is green, etc. You're going to be using all these kinds of details to create your prompt. So why wouldn't you use those details when you're prompting the cosmos? You should do that there as well. Instead of just saying, dear God, make this person well, instead, paint a full picture with the sounds, with the images, with the colors, with the touch, the feelings, the emotions, everything that describes that future that you want to make real. And then when you are able to do that, the universe responds to you with more realism. You'll find that your prayers or your meditations or your requests are more powerful because of that. Remember that the universe can give you almost anything you want if you know how to ask for it. But you will need to be specific. And that's a lot of what my work is focused on right now, is teaching people how to make the requests, or how to even describe the requests that you desire to bring into reality. And there are simple ways to do that, and what I just shared with you is one of them. Now, I should have mentioned more about emotion, but also ask yourself, what emotions are you feeling? Are you feeling a sense of joy when this person is well again? Are you sensing a feel of belonging? You know, what are your emotions? If you can help re-experience those emotions as part of your prayer, part of your meditation, then that's going to add a lot of energy, karmic energy, to your request, especially if they are positive emotions of love and joy and discovery, happiness, etc. Those are the most powerful emotions of creation. The most destructive energies are hatred and fear, violence, etc. So if you feel fear, if you feel sadness, all those kinds of things, then that is not a good time to focus on, or, you know, to ask the universe for things that you want. If you're feeling down, if you're feeling really negative, don't focus on co-creation type of activities. Instead, work on transitioning to a feeling of joy and love and happiness and light, etc. Because from there, your powers of creation will be ever more potent. And you know why? It's because you are a child of God. It's because you have a slice of God within you. You literally can create a universe. You are creating it in every moment that you're awake and alive. Every moment of consciousness is a moment of conscious creation. The question is, how do you choose to use that consciousness? What are you creating? And that is a choice. Every single day, in every moment, we make that choice, and we can use it or abuse it or lose it, depending on what you do with it. So I'll be talking more about this at my Church of Natural Abundance. We're reworking the website. I'm shifting the church to being a multi-denominational church, by the way. And you'll find more lectures like this and sermons, etc., at abundance.church as we relaunch the website with a lot of focus on conscious creation. So check it out, abundance.church, and also follow my articles at naturalnews.com. Follow my podcasts and interviews at brighteon.com. And thank you for listening. Take care. So Tulsi Gabbard declassified documents revealing that the Biden administration had labeled all those who opposed vaccines as violent domestic extremists, or VDEs. Notice the word violent and extremist. So, you know, you were automatically basically called a terrorist. Now, this designation then gave the FBI the legal justification to not only spy on you, but also to follow you, track you, potentially arrest you, kidnap you, whatever they wanted to do. And also, this could be done by other law enforcement agencies as well. Because once you're designated a violent domestic extremist, right, then anything goes and all kinds of laws kick in. Oh, violent, domestic extremist, you know. But of course, speaking out against vaccines is the opposite of violence. Being anti-vaccine is anti-violence. Being pro-vaccine is pro-vaccine violence, because vaccines are medical violence. Vaccines maim and injure children and adults alike. Vaccines murder people. They kill people, okay? I should say those who advocate for vaccines are the murderers, but the mechanism of death is the vaccine itself. So, of course, the government has it completely backwards, where those who actually advocate vaccines are the ones who are the extremists and the ones who are committing violence, and those who oppose the vaccines are the ones trying to save lives and end violence. But understand that in a time when the government wants to achieve extermination of humanity, then to oppose that extermination is to be labeled an extremist by that same government. Now, had the Democrats won the election in November, they were clearly setting the stage to begin arresting and rounding up all these people. Of course, my name was on that list, perhaps your name as well. Maybe all of us were on that list. And they were going to round us up and arrest us and possibly torture us without any due process, without any trial. That was the plan. Now, it's important to note that the Trump administration is still doing exactly that. They're just targeting a different group. They're targeting students who speak out against Israel. So anybody who says free Palestine is automatically considered a violent domestic extremist. And then they get rounded up and thrown into a van, you know, basically kidnapped by the State Department. They have their visa yanked and they are booted out of the country without any due process whatsoever. So I do want you to know that it doesn't matter which party is in charge. Neither party believes in the fundamental right to freedom of speech. Neither party. Not Trump, not Biden, not anybody. I mean, not anybody in power. So the only real question is, the regime in power, are they targeting you this time or are they targeting somebody else? None of us are safe until the tyranny is dismantled and replaced with something else that's not a bunch of authoritarians. But we're far from that. That's just a side note. Now, where do you suppose this is headed next? Clearly, there is a global extermination agenda targeting humanity that is now underway. And clearly, they're going to keep trying. Yeah, they've got, you know, more plandemics in the works. They've got more psyops. They've got more vaccines ready to go. All they're waiting for is the right moment to scare everybody into taking more jabs. The only question is, when that event comes, whatever it is, you know, Ebola bird flu, new sewage samples show that everybody's being infected with the, you know, the gotcha flu or whatever. Are you going to go along with that? Are you going to go along with that? Because if you don't go along with that, probably regardless of who's in power, you're going to be labeled a violent domestic extremist. And understand that government needs, I mean, this is why they're pursuing mass depopulation. They need to achieve extermination in order to stay solvent, in order to stay in power. Because they know, for example, that as robots are taking over human jobs, especially over the next 5 to 10 years, they know that there are going to be worldwide billions of unemployable humans. And they know that those humans are going to revolt when they have no incomes, no jobs, no money. They're going to revolt and they're going to threaten the power control of the governments currently in charge. And so governments know that the only way for themselves, for their own people to stay in power, is to achieve mass extermination between now and the tipping point of the robots taking over human jobs. So they will use vaccines to achieve mass extermination. If necessary, they will drop bioweapons on their own populations. Because remember, COVID-19 was originally a project of the DOD. That's right. And remember the NIAID? Fauci? I still can't believe he's walking around free. And how they sent it to Wuhan for gain-of-function research, but they provided the original strains from the DOD. So this was a government weaponization program intended to target the American people. The Department of Defense is a murderous regime, not just murdering, you know, other people overseas, like building bombs to be dropped on children in Gaza. But even more horrifying, the DOD murders Americans, builds bioweapons to be deployed against the American people. Now, when the Pentagon does that, nobody at the Pentagon is called a violent domestic extremist. No, that's called science, to build bioweapons to exterminate millions of Americans. That's called science. If you oppose the extermination, that's, well, now then you're a violent domestic extremist. You see how that works? And remember that anytime the government wants to take away your freedoms, all they have to do is declare a big enough emergency. That's all they have to do. They did it during COVID. They tore up the Constitution, didn't they? They banished the First Amendment. They destroyed your ability to have a business that's even open, a gymnasium, a hair salon, a restaurant. They said, oh, you're non-essential. You have to be closed. But they kept Walmarts opened. Oh, well, that Walmart's essential, but your business is non-essential. Well, what do you think that means? That you're non-essential, but they are essential. Well, extrapolate that out and you realize that you're the ones that they're going to target for extermination because you're non-essential. Literally just being, quote, non-essential means that they don't care if they murder you. They can murder you. They can exterminate you. They can lock you down. They can do anything they want. And there's nothing you can do about it as long as the authoritarians are still in power. And anybody who tells the truth about anything that questions the government's authority will be labeled a domestic extremist. And wherever the government can get away with it, they will destroy those people. They can have them arrested. They can have them assassinated. They can target them for censorship, which is what the Biden regime did. You know, I was specifically named to be censored by the Department of Defense. That's one of the key components of our lawsuit against the federal government, a lawsuit that's in the federal court system right now. That the reason that I have standing is because I was specifically named to be silenced because I told the truth about vaccines. So if they can take away your First Amendment rights, well, they can take away your Fourth Amendment rights or your Fifth Amendment rights or even your right to be alive. They can absolutely destroy you. Now, understand that the Trump administration is moving in this direction as well in order to appease Israel. Remember that Israel wants to outlaw any criticism of Israel. And the Trump administration looks poised to go along with that. So if you criticize Israel's genocide or the mass murdering lunatic known as Netanyahu, then you can be labeled, what, a violent domestic extremist. That's right. If you are anti-war, if you believe that it's wrong to bomb innocent children to death, you will be labeled a violent domestic extremist. And then you can have all your rights taken away by the same government that did exactly that during COVID. And how do they justify that? It's easy. They just carry out a false flag shooting of some people who worked for the Israeli embassy. And then they say, look, speech is violence. Speech, you know, criticism of Israel caused this. We have to stop all criticism of Israel. And in order to do that, we have to ban the First Amendment, you know. And the Trump administration will go right along with it, 100%. No hesitation. So don't even think that any government operates out of principles. They don't abide by the Constitution. And if you end up in a court of law, the judge will tell you the Constitution doesn't even apply here. You can't invoke the Constitution in a court of law. Imagine that. The Bill of Rights is null and void in the entire judicial system. Any judge can overrule any segment of it at any time. And they did that over and over again during COVID. They ruled that you don't have a right to speech. You don't have a right to be safe in your person. That even the Supreme Court of the state of New York ruled that the state can take you away against your will and throw you into a concentration camp. That's a ruling on the books, confirmed. You think you have rights? You think you have freedoms under this government? No, you have nothing of the kind. No system of power respects the powerless. No system of power will ever allow anything that threatens its own concentration of power. So don't think for even a minute that you are safe under one government or another government. You are not. The only way to achieve actual safety is to decentralize your life, which is what I teach at decentralized.tv. And we've got a replay running right now at brightyou.com if you want to watch our new docuseries called Breaking the Chains, How to Decentralize Your Life. It's the only way to be free. Decentralize. Get out of the control grip of centralized government, medicine, the food system, the financial system, the legal system, all of it. Decentralizing your life is the only way to find freedom in an unfree world. And you can watch all those episodes for free on this replay, brightyou.com, which is the letter U, brightyou.com. Go there, register with your email address. You can watch it for free, or you can optionally purchase the entire course. And also, by the way, today, this Memorial Day, we have a special sale happening at healthrangerstore.com. Just go to healthrangerstore.com/Memorial Day, and you'll be able to tap into all of the sales and specials that we have, which are very limited. Like, this is the last time you're going to see these products at these prices because of supply chain problems and inflation, and also food shortages of certain crops like cacao. All over the world, you can't get cacao anymore. I mean, not easily. Hard to get clean foods, hard to get supplies. The whole global supply chain is breaking down. So take advantage of this while you can. healthrangerstore.com/Memorial Day. And defend your freedom, folks. Defend your freedom. Speak out. Tell the truth. I'm not saying that you shouldn't speak the truth just because you're going to be criminalized for doing so. No, we all need to speak the truth. And that's, in fact, the only way that we're ever going to be able to push back against this authoritarianism and tyranny that exists across every federal administration. Doesn't matter who we're talking about. And the next administration that comes into power will be no different. It will also crush your freedoms. Doesn't matter if they talk about freedom. Doesn't matter. No. Hey, Dan Bongino and Kash Patel, they were all like, oh, if we run the FBI, we're going to release the Epstein files. We're going to clean house. We're going to fire them all, you know? So they get appointed to run the FBI, number one and number two. What do? Oh, Epstein did kill himself after all. Yeah. Yeah. And, oh, the Trump assassin acted alone, they say now. Uh-huh. Yeah. So they became the swamp. They became the swamp. And if they can become the swamp, then, well, almost anybody can become the swamp once they join the swamp. So there you go. All right. Be safe, everybody. Stay informed. Speak the truth. Thanks for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, at naturalnews.com. And you can find my videos at brighteon.com. Take care. If you felt like there's something wrong with the world, listen into this podcast, because we're going to talk about how we're not just observers of reality, but we are projectors. You know how, I mean, you've heard people say, well, you're watching a movie, that everything's scripted, that everything's artificial, or that you're living in a simulation, which is true, by the way. Maybe we'll talk about that. You are living in a simulation. There isn't really such thing as physical matter. It's simply the illusion or the collapse of probability waves into substances that we perceive as matter or perceive as light, etc. I mean, it really is a simulation in which we are living. But instead of saying we're watching a movie, the far more accurate statement is to say we are projecting a movie. We are projecting a reality. And that projection is based entirely on our internal belief systems, which are shaped. They are controlled and influenced. They are narrated to us through so many means, including false authority, including fear psyops like COVID, including utterly, you know, false so-called scientific explanations like germ theory, which is completely made up, not even true. But also through pop culture, movies and television, for example, we are given these narratives, these stories. We're told all these stories in order to control our subconscious mind so that when we perceive and project the world around us, we are projecting those stories. Understand the power of Hollywood, the power of television, the power of music, the power of narratives, the power of the media. It's all there to really control your subconscious mind so that the reality that you project is the one that they dictated. And the truth in all of this is that you can choose to do something different. You don't have to participate in the brainwashing and the gaslighting. You don't have to be driven by fear. You can choose to be driven by love instead. This choice can set you free, and because the world around you is literally projected in part from your mind, that when you change your mind, you change your world. Change the world around you. Now, recently I began demonstrating the power of conscious creation by melting and then freezing xylitol crystals and then watching them under the microscope. As they freeze, they build structure. They paint, they sketch, they scribble, they construct. And it turns out that this is the best moment in which to project your reality into 3D space, is when something is growing, when something is forming. Because in that moment, then, it's choosing from a vast palette of possibilities. There are all kinds of different ways that it could choose to form. There are all kinds of different colors that it could paint, all kinds of different lines and structures that it could render in real time. Well, your consciousness impacts that. And it's easiest to alter structures that are in the process of being formed rather than to alter structures that already exist. Because if you're trying to alter structures that already exist, you have to actually destroy them or tear them down in order to reshape them. And that is far more difficult to tear apart, let's say, you know, molecular structures, chemical structures. It takes a tremendous amount of energy or, you know, focus in order to do that. Whereas if you're simply nudging a bunch of crystals that are in the process of forming something, they're going to form something because they're freezing, then you can relatively easily alter what they form, and you can have it then paint pictures right in front of you. And as you've seen from some of my photos, I'll ask my editor to insert some of those right here. This is just from a couple of days of experiments, but I've had xylitol crystals form images of this one I call a digital dolphin. It was painting this out right in front of me in real time. Here's an image of a cabin in the hills, log cabin in the hills, I call this one. Here's xylitol crystals painting colorful ice caves. Look at all the different colors that it would paint. And here's a colorful Gila monster. Looks like a dragon with blue teeth and drool and yellow fire coming out of its nose. All of these are made entirely out of xylitol. There's nothing else that you're seeing there other than just xylitol. You say, why xylitol? Well, because it freezes at room temperature. That's why. So I can conduct these experiments at regular room temperature. I don't have to be in a really cold room in order to do this. And I found that xylitol crystals can form anything. They can paint any shape. I had them paint an image of one of my dogs on top of a hog the other day. And then in this one image here, the xylitol crystals painted a short spear. Looks like a wooden-handled spear with a metal or stone tip tied onto the wooden handle. That's what that looks like. So remember, it's painting this in real time as I'm watching it. And what it's doing is it's tapping into your mind. Your mind is projecting into the morphic fields that the crystals are tapping into in order to decide what to form. The crystals are, in essence, reflecting the dominant consciousness that is present in the morphic fields at the time that the crystals are freezing and forming structures. And so they can paint out literally anything. And this is why they tend to reflect a lot of human scenes. I've got another image here that I call the Rapture, which seems to depict souls rising up out of the ground and up into the sky, etc. So these crystals can choose to paint anything. Well, we know that this also happens with water. So water crystals also form these types of shapes based on the consciousness of the observers who are nearby, and maybe even those who are remote if they're focused on it. Dr. Emoto did that work. So water crystals also tap into consciousness, and then they form appropriate geometry or appropriate shapes. Well, your body is something like 70% water. So your body, if you think about it, your body is composed of a substance that is strongly influenced by conscious thought. And when you decide to think certain thoughts that are beneficial to you, such as thoughts of love and forgiveness and beauty, etc. Or I would even argue when you stand for life, when you stand for beauty, when you stand for joy, when you work to help end human suffering, then the water in your body becomes happier water, literally. And then you are happier. Your physical beauty is more radiant. Your health works better. Everything works better when you have happier water in your cells. And every thought that you think actually alters the structure of the molecules in your own body. Every thought. And as a result, every thought you think also alters the structure to some extent of what's in the world around you. And then collectively, all of us together, we are co-creating the world around us through these mechanisms. That's why I say you are projecting a movie into the world around you. You're not just watching a movie, you are co-creating it. So then you have to ask yourself, what kind of movie do I want to create or participate in? What kind of movie would you find makes you happy or gives you purpose in life? What kind of movie would you want to star in? You can create that movie, but only if you extricate yourself from the narratives of the establishment, Hollywood, the music industry, etc., government, fear, psyops, the CDC, oh, it's another pandemic. Well, they want you to live in their movie, which is a horror movie. Oh, there's a virus. Be afraid of an invisible virus. Yeah, that's a total science fiction movie because there are no viruses that can make you ill, it turns out. That entire thing is a made-up movie. But people make it real because they believe it. Just like, did you know that they've done this in hypnosis experiments? If a person is touched on their arm by if they're blindfolded and then touched on their arm by a pencil eraser, but if they're told that that's a lit cigarette butt, then that person, their skin will form a blister because they will think that they were burned. Their mind makes it real. And they've done similar experiments with poison ivy or non-poison ivy that caused poison ivy blisters because the person thought it was real, so their skin reacted, etc. Your mind makes it real. That's why virus theory is so important to the establishment because it's a fear control mechanism. They can convince everybody there's a virus on the loose. And granted, that theory was very convincing. I was fooled by it up until the COVID years. And even then, it took me a while to sort it out and figure it out. And it was only thanks to interviewing a number of people who were very skeptical about that theory that I finally realized the whole thing was total bunk. And also, I tried to order SARS-CoV-2 standards for my laboratory and found out there are no standards. They don't exist. The whole thing is completely made up. So you've been living in the germ theory movie that is total fiction. And I was living in that movie too. But there's nothing real about that movie. You can replace that narrative with something totally different that's more aligned with truth. But if you believe the fake virus narrative, well, then they can scare you with all kinds of silly stories like, oh, we were swabbing poop in the sewer and we found out there's an outbreak. You know, really? You're crawling around in the sewage system, swabbing poop, and you're going to tell me that there's an outbreak now? I mean, it's so absurd. I mean, it's actually laughable, but people believe it. And then when government officials believe it, then they set policy based on the fakery. But that's the power of false narratives that we have to escape. So what if, instead of being fearful all the time, what if we had absolute confidence in the ability of our bodies to defend ourselves against even, you know, bioweapons shedding by other people? Because vaccines are biological weapons that cause people to shed these toxic particles on other people. Well, if you change your story, you change your outcomes. When I stopped believing in the germ theory, from that day forward, I never got sick. Never got sick. Because the sickness I was experiencing was my mind playing out the narratives that were told to me convincingly by the media. Oh, look at all these sick people in the hospital. They're on ventilators. Oh my God, be afraid. Oh my God, this invisible germ might get you. You have to wear a mask. You have to lock down. You have to obey. Yeah. If you believe all that crap, your mind makes it real. If you don't believe it, I mean, in your heart, if you reject it and you laugh at it because it's so stupid, then you're not imprisoned by it any longer. Instead, I believe in nutrition. I believe in zinc and vitamin D. I believe in quercetin. You know, I believe in the laws of nutrition, natural health, natural remedies, herbal remedies, etc. And that's what I rely on. And that's why I'm never sick. And sometimes I use ivermectin, which is also, it comes from soil microbes, by the way. So I never get sick anymore. I do have occasional symptoms just start to appear. And then I hit it with nutrition and boom, it's over. No more sickness. Imagine that. So I changed my script and then I began to project an entirely new reality, a reality that I wanted far more than the one in which people are sick all the time and people are afraid and people are locked in their homes, etc. So you too can choose your own reality. You can project a different movie. And one of the best ways to start getting into that is to change where you get your information. So instead of believing in the media, instead of believing the fake officials at the FDA and the CDC, who are nothing but sorcerers, by the way. I mean, another word for this whole thing is sorcery. So sorcery, spell casting, you know, this is what people are living under right now. And remember what I said about what I do is I'm a spell breaker. I help you break these spells so that you can return to reality. And then you can decide what kind of reality you want to shape for yourself. So breaking the sorcery is straightforward, but it does take dedication and effort, and you do have to disengage from the sorcerers. You have to stop getting information from CNN, stop listening to NPR, stop believing in the false authority of your brain-dead doctor who's nothing but a big pharma puppet who's about to be replaced with a robot anyway. You know, stop believing in all the nonsense. and you can take control of your life. You can literally begin to project a new movie in which you are living every single day. So if this makes sense, then check out my articles at naturalnews.com. Check out my broadcast at brighteon.com. And also check out our online store, healthrangerstore.com, where you can get super clean superfoods and high-end nutritional supplements, all laboratory tested to be ultra clean. We test for glyphosate, we test for heavy metals, we test for E. coli, and so much more. And we have a special Memorial Day sale that ends, I believe, tonight at midnight. And you can find all that at healthrangerstore.com/Memorial Day. So thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. God bless you all. Take care.